This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
At some point in our lives, we've all done things to fit in. But then we realize the importance of being ourselves. Introducing the distinct Audi Q5, an SUV all its own. Its LED DRLs stand out wherever they shine. And with Audi Quattro all-wheel drive and available Audi Drive Select, it delivers performance that no one can imitate. So be yourself. Visit your Audi dealer to test drive the distinct Audi Q5.
I'm David Jones. Come see the largest selection ever of Audi A3s, Q5s, and Q7s. Audi Exceptional Luxury Performance at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at geraldjonesaudi.com.
Well, Johnny Miller won 25 times on the PGA Tour, including a couple of major championships. He's a member of the World Golf Hall of Fame, the lead analyst for NBC's golf coverage. It's a pleasure to welcome Johnny Miller back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hello, Johnny.
Yeah, nice to be on your show, John Patrick. It's always a pleasure.
It's good to see you last week. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good Masters, and no doubt about it.
Tell me you were watching the final round live. I have to know what you thought and said when Jordan hit it in the creek.
Well, it wasn't just that. You know, after the birdies in the front nine, almost felt like, well, I can go out and take a walk up the mountain, you know, because it's over. And I'll watch him on 16, 17, and 18. And then I said, well, I'll watch 10, and he bogeyed. And I thought, well, you know, I'll watch 11, and they bogey. I'm thinking, is he going to start falling apart a little bit? And then, of course, 12 was, like you said, just totally crazy because he must have been aiming, you know, 15 feet left of the hole. And to push it, you know, some guys said he hit it fat. He didn't hit it fat. He just pushed it probably 30 to 50 feet right, which you just can't do on that hole. You can do anything but push it because that creek is diagonal, so the more you push it, the longer the carry is, and the bank is, of course, going to repel it down in there. And then I thought, well, you know, he's in big trouble, and little did I know, he went back there for more of a full wedge that he could spin, and he laid the sod over on that shot. I mean, it was crazy, that third shot that he must have hit an inch behind it, and it was the divot was about 8 inches long, and it barely landed in the creek. It didn't even sniff making it over. So I think at that point his brain was like swirling like the most he's ever been in his life. And then, of course, then he went in the bunker and got a nice up and in. But by then the damage was sort of done because Willett was doing his thing thinking, well, I'm got the pedal down. I'm trying to get second place by myself, you know.
Did you ever have that third? I apologize for asking this. Did you ever have that third shot at 12?
Oh, you mean go in the lake and hit the third shot? I think I did it one time is all, when the winds were swirling pretty good, and it just hit the bank. I went down the creek, and that shot, I would have thought he'd go to the drop zone, but I can see why he wanted to hit a spinning wedge and try to knock it real close. But, it, you know, it's a dangerous shot when you're having everything falling apart. It's especially dangerous after going bogey, bogey, and then as tee shot in the water, that next shot, it was probably hard to focus. You know, sometimes I think Spieth, I love the guy and he's such a nice kid, but you know, the caddy exchange and the 6-8 practice swings and talking about everything so many times, you know, they've proven that your first thought or your intuition is usually the most accurate. And, you know, when you talk over everything so much, it sort of wears you out, I think. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I was a fast player. I just can't imagine all the exchanges that are going on with these players nowadays. It's like they can't hit a shot until they have a long conversation with their caddy, you know. So I don't get it. But, you know, of course, he had an unbelievable year last year, so you can't really fault him.
Speaking of overthinking things, he's going to play that 12th hole for a long time in Masters. Is it better for him to forget what happened or Johnny to never forget what happened and make sure it doesn't happen again?
He doesn't have a choice. It just comes back. I only shanked one ball in competition. It was at the 72 Bing Crosby. I was battling Jack Nicklaus on Sunday, and on 16, I sort of did a little Lima knee action into it and shanked it behind a tree and had to chip it sideways and made a great bogey. But I never won a tournament after that. And I won around the world about 34 more tournaments. And I never won a tournament without on the back nine with a lead. The voice came through my head out of nowhere on an iron shot. You're not going to shank it like you did in 1972, are you? So, I mean, it's like these kind of things you just, that I know of, you can't get out of your head. And that's why it was so tough on Norman, all the crazy stuff that, you know, he caused, but he also other guys caused. And, you know, just the, I call them hauntings. You get these hauntings that come through your head. And I had to, when it would come to me, I had to say, no, I'm not going to shank it. Those are just little tiny iron heads that I used to use with McGregor. I don't shank it. So you have to almost like talk your way around it, you know. And even the putt that I had to win when I was a grandpa on 94 at the AT&T, it was over that 2-3 footer, and my little bad haunting said, this can be really embarrassing when you miss this. This great putt right before I took it back, you know. So, but you have to sort of negate it by saying, nope, I've been making all the short putts. I'm not going to miss this. These things pop in your head is what I'm trying to say.
We are talking with Johnny Miller here on the Augusta Golf Show. There was a winner, and you mentioned Danny Willett. You had to be impressed with how he played Sunday.
You know, I mean, even John Daly said, you know, this guy's one of the hottest golfers before. I think he said it on Thursday. He's gonna win. Well, of course, I don't know how many beers that was after, but the bottom line is he did say he was a great pick, or he did pick him. And, you know, Willett has got that early set on his backswing like I used to do. I was sort of the Dave Hill and myself were the two that used to do that, make that move. And he's a very good iron player. And really good concentrator. You look at his eyes, and he is really into it, almost like those Hawkeyes, like Ben Hogan type eyes, or Ray Floyd. So I like him. He's going to be really tough in the Ryder Cup this fall, too, I think. But he's a fitting champion. He's been, you know, ramping up to win a major. He hadn't really played great in a major, but the last 6 months he's really been playing great golf. He was second in the race to Dubai, I guess it was. McIlroy beat him out on that one, but I think he's the real deal.
You are about to begin a busy stretch. How much are you looking forward to the Players, especially after all of the excitement last year?
Well, I mean, the Players has turned into just keeps, you know, it's like the Masters. Masters started, people don't realize, the Masters started out as a Bob Hope Desert Classic, Bing Crosby Clam Bake, just a fun deal for Bobby Jones, and everybody just came there and had a good old time, and it just kept getting better every year, and the place kept getting prettier and more flowers. And that's what's happened with the Players. They tried to force it being like the fifth major, but what's happened is it's just the course has gotten better, the clubhouse is better, everything keeps getting a little bit better and more history. And the Players, you know, is, you know, last was incredible. You know, it just couldn't have been any better than it was for Ricky. And so, I mean, the playoff was sensational. All those birdies he made coming in, I think he had a 5-under the last five holes. Mm-hmm. And so that was about as exciting a golf as you can get without being a major.
Then you're going to Jack's tournament. You are the honoree at the Memorial. What's that mean to you?
Well, it means pretty darn much when it comes from Jack. We're like older brother, younger brother. He never agrees with anything I say. But, you know, we sort of fight nicely together and fish together. And it's a pretty interesting dynamic. You'd get a kick out of it if you could sort of sit back and hide and listen to the exchanges between the two of us. But, yeah, you know, I mean, Jack has been sort of my competitor, but he's also been my hero, just the role model that he's had as a golfer, not playing too much golf, putting priority in the family, and not playing more than 2 weeks in a row, all those things I copied. And, you know, just the guy really has been a great guy to copy. And so, you know, what he did in golf is, you know, just I don't think it'll ever – the major championships, 18, will never be beaten, I don't think. You know, Tiger looked like he was going to beat it, but now the odds are about a 500-1. So I think it's pretty safe. There aren't too many Tigers around, and he still didn't get to 18.
Yeah. And when you're done with that, you're heading for the Open Championship at Birkdale. When's the last time you were at Birkdale?
This year's Troon, right? Next year's Birkdale.
I'm sorry. Next year's Birkdale.
Yeah. You know, originally they said we got the British Open or the Open Championship at Birkdale.
That's right.
And then NBC got in there and, you know, sort of did some heavy negotiations and just grabbed it for this year. So, you know, I'm looking forward to Birkdale, but Troon, I had a great chance to win in that one against Tom Weisskopf, and that was after I just won the Open Championship at U.S. Open at Oakmont, and then Tom and I had like a five-shot lead after two rounds of terrible weather, windy, rainy weather, and looked like, you know, I was hotter than he was, I thought, and he ended up one putt 21 out of the last 36 greens, and I finished second. But, yeah, I like Troon, and then, and obviously Birkdale, I was sort of in my prime. I had a good chance to win the old British Open or Open Championship several times before I finally did win it. I like playing golf over there. I like the little ball, too. I was the last guy to win with the little ball.
You mentioned Oakmont. I'm going to play Oakmont later this month. Your advice to me would be?
Don't worry about three putts. You know, yeah, those greens are, you know, the greens at Augusta National and Oakland Hills, and I think Oakmont are the three toughest sets of greens, and Oakmont runs them faster for their members than in any other course in the United States. And that course could very well be, you know, it was built to be the hardest course in America, and I think it's back there in number one spot. You know, it's in the argument category with Kiawa Island maybe and a couple others. But, I mean, that course is just so tough. That first hole is the hardest opening hole in the world. And it just, it doesn't let up too much. So not a lot of birdie holes at Oakmont.
All right, good. I'm looking forward to it. He is Johnny Miller from NBC Sports. It was good to see you last week, Johnny. Thank you for taking the time to do this. Have a great summer. Enjoy the Memorial. Enjoy the Open.
Thank you for calling. It was nice to chat with you. Thanks, John.